Well, it's good to see everybody. Glad to be back here. I was thinking as Mike was leading the singing, I believe it was the first time I came here at a Bible conference. And I don't mean to make Mike and Tammy sound older than I am, but
they are.
We went. Well, first time I came here, I was one of the few. I think me and Stephanie and a couple others was the only teenagers in the place, and they took us back there during one of the messages and talked, and I still remember that. And then as I got older, and you know, the older you get, age difference isn't nearly as much. You know, like when you're a teenager, 5 years older is like really, really old, but they're not that old. Because I'm not that old. No. But I am going to do a song, and I appreciated the message, or all the messages, but I appreciated hearing Brother Sam last night. I tell you, it's one thing to get up and sing with music, with soundtracks. It's another thing to stand up here, just you singing, and it takes guts. And the first time I heard Sam do that, I was like, "Golly, that's really putting yourself out there." And so I'm going to try to do that, not to try to replace him or try to do anything to do that at all. It's just, for one thing, I think it's a good way to honor him, and I think the song that I'm going to do goes really well with what I'm going to teach. So it kills two birds. So just listen to the words of this song, and I hope I've had a sinus infection for seem like 2 years now, and so I don't know what it's going to sound like, but just bear with me and listen to the words. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His word shall not fail you. He promised, believe Him, and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. All right, now the hard part's over. I tell people all the time, I'm a lot more nervous singing than I am preaching. I don't know. But anyway, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And when Dad started last night, that's where he went. And I said, oh no, I'm in trouble. But you know, 2 Corinthians, particularly, well, and I heard Brother Jerry Lockhart on his Facebook or whatever it is he does, the video that he does last week, he talked about the book of 2 Corinthians being one of his favorite books, and I have to agree that 2 Corinthians is one of my favorite books in the Bible, and particularly 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and chapter 5 are my two favorite chapters in those, because it's just chock full of stuff. I mean, it is just, it's dynamite. And I don't have time to go through all of the things in these two chapters, but I want to look at some things. And part of it was last night, if you listened to Dad, he talked about the gospel in verse 3, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. So the context here has to do with the gospel, and the gospel being light and shining unto people, right? Notice verse 5. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And this treasure is in those of us who are saved. We have a treasure within us. And that treasure begins by believing the gospel of Christ. When the moment you believe the gospel of Christ, when you believe Ephesians chapter 1 verse 12 and 13 and through there says that after you trusted and that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So the moment that you believe the gospel and trust the gospel is the gospel of your salvation, the fact that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day, which has been preached here all weekend. The moment you believe that, you have a treasure within you. That treasure is that the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of Christ. You have that new man that's created in you. The Bible says in Romans that the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. We have all of this within a human sinews and joints and bones within us, and it is in us. And we have this treasure. That's what that treasure is. Now, notice the opposite of this as he's talking about this treasure, and then in verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Notice, there's two things here. There's being troubled, but not distressed. In other words, there's trouble all around. We live in an evil world. We live in a world that it is getting worse and worse. It's not getting better and better. We're not going to get to a point where we are so good that then the Lord's going to come down and establish His kingdom. Never going to happen. That's not how that's going to work. If you read your Bible, it's pretty clear that's not how that's going to work. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We're not just tore up about it. You know, we shouldn't be. You know, notice the next one here. Perplexed. We are perplexed. You know what perplexed means? It means to be kind of not sure about something or questioning something. You know, there's a lot of times when things happen in our lives and in our loved ones' lives, or there's a tragedy that takes place, and human nature, the old man that is still you're walking around in, begins to say, "Why did God let that happen?" That's what being perplexed is. That's the thought. You're perplexed. Why? That's the question. But What does it say about that? But not in despair. You know what the word despair means? Without any hope. You know why you shouldn't be in despair? Because if you have this treasure in an earthen vessel, you got a hope. We shouldn't despair. Persecuted. We're going to be persecuted. We don't necessarily face the persecution that others have faced, but there's persecution. They're living in a sinful world, but not forsaken. You know, one of the things in Romans chapter 8 that he talks about that can't separate us from the love of God is persecution. Can't do it. No matter what else happens to you on this earth, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Therefore, you shouldn't be in despair. Right? You see how this is working here. Always bearing about, verse 10, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. And Dad did a great job last night talking about that and how we manifest Him in verse 13 by speaking, by telling people. You believe, therefore you speak. Right? That's what we're here for. We're here to speak the Word of God, not my opinion. You know, nobody's interested in anybody else's opinion. There's some people that need to know that. You know, there's people always wanting to give you their opinion. You know what you ought to give people? You give them the Word of God. They don't want to know what you think. They want to know. They shouldn't want to know what the Word of God says. That's what we hold forth. And we hold this forth all through here. Now, look on down. Let's just skip down to verse 16 for time's sake. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man is the flesh. The outward man is what you see in the mirror every morning when you're brushing your teeth. I'm not sure why we look in the mirror when we brush our teeth, but we do, don't we? Do you need to do that? No, I don't know. Anyway. For our light affliction, verse 17, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now here's the verse I wanted to get to. This is the verse that had to do with the song. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. We need to look, as saved members of the body of Christ, we need to start looking at the right things. We spend too much time looking at things we don't need to look at. And I'm not talking about dirty TV shows, but maybe that too. And I want to talk about that because one of the things that we do as human beings is we look at what we see with our natural eyes and not so much with our spiritual eyes. For example, we look at this life and I want to just look at some verses real quick of what the Bible has to say about what this life is. I want you to turn to, we're going to come back to 2 Corinthians, but look in James. I'm going to go fairly quickly here, so James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, verse 14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's all this life is. The Bible says this life is a vapor. It's like when you're boiling water on the stove and the steam comes up and you see it for just a second and then where does it go? Who knows? It turns into whatever. Steam and then it goes into the atmosphere. Whatever it does, it's not there. It's gone. It's there and gone. Look in Job. Look in Job chapter 7. In Job chapter 7, verse 5, "My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. I remember that my life is wind, mine eyes shall no more see good." I mean, that's a very depressing way to look at life. And I know that there is joy in this life. I don't think any of us are, you know, we're not looking to check out. We know every time we get a little pain or whatever, we're going to the doctor and we're wanting to live as long as we can. We want to be with our family. We want to see our kids grow up. We want to see our grandkids and great-grandkids grow. We want to stay as long as we can. But regardless of that, it's still just a short time. It's still just a short time. Look in Psalm 78. And I love this verse. And in Psalm 78, David here is recounting when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and they notice verse 37, Psalm 78:37. "For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many of them turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh." That's what we need to remember sometimes. Sometimes we think we're a little bit more than flesh. But this flesh is what it is. And everybody has that flesh. "A wind that passeth away and cometh not again." That's this life. This is flesh. It's flesh. Look in 103 while we're in Psalms. 103. Verse 13, "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust." That's it. We're dust. You know what you are, though, if you're saved? You're dust with a treasure in it. But we're born dust. Right? "As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." You know what? I've got on Ancestry.com, and I've gone on there and looked up family members. Great grandfathers, great-great-grandfathers, some of them haven't been dead not even 100 years. I don't know them. Nobody knows them. You can go and look at their grave. That's what this life is. You know, without Ancestry.com, we wouldn't know. You know, wouldn't know unless we had somebody in our family that kept records. We won't even know their names. You see how minuscule this thing is compared to eternity? 100 years? It's nothing. That's this life. Look at back in Job. Job chapter 14. Verse 1, Job chapter 14, verse 1. "Man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble." That hadn't changed, has it? We hadn't evolved past that yet, have we? He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one and bringing me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean one? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. The number of his months with him. You know what? The Lord knew when you were going to be born, and he knows when you're going to die. It's already determined. Well, I'll just quit smoking and live better. Guess what? He knew that. He already knows. He knows. He knows today in this building who's saved and who's not. And he knows who in this building will maybe get saved later on down the road. And he knows that if there's maybe someone in here who will never be saved. And that's very sad. Because the gospel's been preached here all weekend. You know, this life is, as Job says here, full of trouble. You know, I'm not going to go to the book of Ecclesiastes, but it's a wonderful book to read to ground us human beings on how vain everything is in this life. The man who had everything a man could ever want in life. Wisdom, riches, servants, gold. People from all over the world were coming in to see him and see what he had done and talk to him about his wisdom. And he says, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. It ain't worth a hill of beans. And yet that's what we're striving for as human beings. And that is why, look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 19, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You know why this world is so miserable? You know why people turn to drugs and turn to other vices and try to escape this life? Because they're miserable. And you know why they're miserable? They don't have any hope. They're in despair. Because for those who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, this life is as good as it's ever going to be. But it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus Christ went to a cross and died for every single person in this world. He died for their sins. He died for your sins. He died for my sins. God put him in the grave. He was buried for 3 days and three nights away from the presence of the Lord. And God raised him again the third day to give us hope, to give us life, to give us righteousness. And it is available and it is unto all who will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in Him as their Savior. You don't have to be miserable. You don't have to be perplexed. You don't have to be in despair. You don't have to be forsaken and feeling left behind in this world. Because there is a Savior who is wanting you to come to Him, believe in Him and trust in Him for salvation. It takes, according to scientists, which you take that for whatever you want to, but according to scientists, it takes 1/16th of a second to have a thought. Some of us, it might take a little longer. 1/16th of a second. That's how fast you can be saved tonight if you've not trusted Christ as your Savior. Faster than you can do anything else, you can trust Jesus Christ. It's not a long, hard process. Why would God send His Son to live for 33 and a half years in this sin-cursed earth and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man and then go to a cross, endure the shame, take our sin and become sin for us, and then be put in the pit of hell for 3 days and three nights, and for you to struggle with trying to be saved. What God would do that? What logical, reasonable person would do that? You know what He does? He makes it so easy that it takes less than a second for you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and nobody around you will even know it happened. But you will. And the Lord will. And once the Lord knoweth His own, He knows you, He seals you. We have this, the seal is the Lord knoweth His own. And it's eternal. That's what we're to be looking at. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 or 4. I'll get there. I'm getting it. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where we started, and again, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, that's what I've just been talking about. If you can see it, then it's temporary. But I have one caveat for that, but we're going to get to it. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, the things that are not seen are eternal. I want you to understand, how do you see things that are seen? What do you use to see something physically? Your eyes, right? Well, how can your physical eyes see something that's not seen? Can you see the wind? Can't see the wind. You can see the effects of the wind, but you can't see the wind. But there's some things. Hold on to 2 Corinthians. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. How do you see things that are unseen? First, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. And I think somebody read this earlier. Can't remember who it was. In verse 16, Ephesians 1:16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Verse 18, the what? Eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. You know how you see things not seen? The eyes of your understanding, through knowledge. Do you know what God wants for every saved person to do? Come into the knowledge of the truth. Look on things that are not seen. That's what coming unto the knowledge of the truth is. It's spiritual things. All of our blessings are spiritual. The world wants things. They want to see it. They want to touch it. They want to feel it. They want to smell it. They want to taste it. That is not the things of God. Those things are temporary. The things of God are eternal. And it is the Word of God. If you look down in chapter 5, back in 2 Corinthians, and I'm jumping ahead, but look in chapter 5, verse 7. Second Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We need to understand what that is. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can't walk by faith without the Word of God. You can't walk by faith when you don't open your Bible all week long, and then when it's time to go to Bible study, you're having to find it. Well, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings, but that's true. You know, there's so much available to us, technology-wise. We've got our own Bibles. You can buy a King James Bible for just a little bit. You can go, Dollar Tree sells them. Right? You might need a magnifying glass to read them. But you got them. You got the computer programs. You've got Facebook and YouTube. You've got these preachers who every week are posting things. There's no excuse for us not to be looking at things that are not seen. And you do that by the Word of God. Do you know, and it's interesting here, in chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, you know what? The one thing that you can use with your eyes to see something that is eternal, you know, the one thing you can look at in this world that is eternal is hopefully sitting in your lap. Because the Word of God is settled in heaven. It is final. There's nothing more going to be added to it. There's nothing that's going to be deleted from it. And if you've got a King James Bible, you have the Word of God, and it is eternal. It's eternal. That means you can put your faith in it. In Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the evidence of things, is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things, what? Not seen. Well, what things are not seen? Eternal. Forever. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's eternal. You can't see it. I'm glad I can't see it. Because if I could see it, it wouldn't be eternal. Your flesh isn't eternal. Your flesh, as we just read, is dust. But you have a treasure, if you're saved, in that earthen vessel. And what we're to do is to tell other people about this treasure. That's what we're to do. Go back and I want to continue reading here. And I want to look at this what Paul begins to talk about as an eternal. So again, chapter 4, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I want you to file that back, and we're going to... Now, Paul is just continuing here into chapter 5. He didn't stop and say, okay, I think I'm going to start a new chapter here. That's added in, right? So let's just keep reading. For we... What's that word?
Know.
We know. You know how you know things about the Word of God? Because you study it, you hear it, you believe it. That's the most important thing. The Word of God is powerful to those and worketh in those that believe, it says in 1 Thessalonians. You believe it, so you know it. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have, not we're going to have, we presently have a building of God and house not made with hands. What's that word?
Eternal.
You know, people want to have, they want to say they had a dream, they went to heaven and they saw this and they saw that, or you have these people that have these near-death experiences and they see this. Well, you know what? If they saw it in a dream, it ain't eternal. It ain't real. These are the things that are real. We have a house eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Paul was in a strait. He said, I'm in a straits betwixt two. To depart to be with Christ is far better, but it's better for me to stay and be with you. So he stayed. That's how heavenly minded he was. You know, some people say, well, y'all are just too heavenly minded to be any spirit, earthly good. It's like, what in the world does that even mean? I can't think of anybody since the Apostle Paul who's been more heavenly minded than he was, and he accomplished way more than anybody else ever has. Right? For in this... Verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing as God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. That's that treasure. You got the earnest of the Spirit. You got the Spirit of God in you if you're saved. And notice what this Spirit does if you allow it to, if you allow Him to. Therefore, because we've been given the earnest of the Spirit, therefore we are always confident. He was fully persuaded. He was confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are to be looking for that house. You don't have to hold on to 2 Corinthians. Look over in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 17, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as you have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. We're not to mind earthly things. Now, we've got earthly responsibilities that we're instructed to do. The Bible says that if the man not provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. We've got responsibilities to our family and to do the ministry of the Lord. But as far as this, all the rest of this noise of the world that goes on, man, we need to try to block that out somehow. And that's hard to do. But notice what it says. Why is that? Verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we what? What's that word? Look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look. Looking for the things that are not seen. You can't see it. You're looking for it. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Yes, He can even subdue you unto Himself and me. Isn't that something? That's what we're to be looking for. That's where our conversation, that's where our citizenship is. That's where our life is. You know, and I've used this analogy a lot, but I'll use it again. Maybe somebody had never heard it. But right now, for the next 12 hours or so, I am residing at the Quality Inn. Very nice hotel, by the way. It's got a real good night's sleep, good mattress. It's a good place. I like the hotel. But if somebody asked me, where are you living? Where's your home? I'm not going to say Quality Inn because I'm spending the night there. I'll tell them I live in North Carolina. Which, according to Jerry, nobody ever wants to leave. But actually, we should say heaven. You'd get some looks when you say that, wouldn't you? Where do you live? My conversation's in heaven. I'm from heaven. Well, you know what? If you're saved, you got a body that's waiting for you there, seated with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Right? Look in Colossians. I'll tell you what, before we go to Colossians, look back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We read in chapter 15, verse 19, that in this life only we have hope in Christ. We are of all men most miserable. And as Paul continues to talk about resurrection here and try to correct these Corinthians, I want you to look at, skip on down, and I want you to look down into verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. That's celestial being heavenly, terrestrial being earthly. He begins to make a distinction between heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. So also, verse 41. There's one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars, and one star differ from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Again, making that distinction between earthly and heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, that's what you see when you look in the mirror, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's going to change our vile body. We are going to bear the image of the glorious body of Christ, the heavenly body that he's referring to there. Now look in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you, where? In heaven. That's what we read about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's laid up for you there. Where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel? Look in chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, and if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you were risen with Christ. You were crucified with Him. You were buried with Him. You're risen with Him. That's what chapter 2 talks about there in Colossians. If ye then be risen, seek those things which are above. When you're seeking for something, what's another word for it? You're looking for it. Try to look for something with your eyes closed. Don't work out most of the time, does it? Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. That's one of these verses here. There's a lot of verses. You know, we're really good a lot of times at telling people and believing it ourselves, which we should, that Paul is our apostle and he was given the gospel. For today, the dispensation of grace, he was given the doctrine of the body of Christ. We're real good at that and identifying that and telling people why. But we're not so good at doing what Paul tells us to do as members of the body of Christ. Like setting your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. That's hard. We're nothing but dust. We're nothing but flesh. But we have a treasure in an earthen vessel. We are to set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Paul said that the sufferings of this present time can't be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And we're looking for that. We're waiting for that. One more verse, Titus. Titus chapter 2. That's, you know, I've had people ask me before, and I've even pondered it a time or two myself about all the suffering that Paul had and how he went through that and how he was able to go through that. And then you hear about others who've suffered for the cause of Christ. You read books like Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you wonder, how did they do it? They did it by what Paul is telling us here. That's why he said he was persecuted but not forsaken. That he was perplexed, but he was not in despair. Because there's a hope, and there's something to look at. There's something at the end. There's something to press toward, the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. That songwriter had something going on there. Look in Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. We need to speak these things. You know, if you don't have this hope tonight, you can have this hope right now by just simply putting your faith and trust in what Christ did for you on the cross. There's no greater joy that anybody who's saved in this building would have than to know that somebody this weekend trusted Christ as their Savior. That would be the greatest joy that we could have. But don't do it just to make us happy. Do it because you need a Savior. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. Thank you.